From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The new health care overhaul bill unveiled today by Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus would cost considerably less than competing proposals in the House and Senate. But just how much less is the subject of some debate. NPR's Julie Robner has more.
As the Finance Committee prepared to unveil the chairman's health plan, aides and Senator Baucus himself said it would cost $856 billion over 10 years. That's much less than the bills approved by other House and Senate panels. But later in the day, the Congressional Budget Office issued its formal, though preliminary, estimate of the Baucus bill, $774 billion over 10 years, or $82 billion less. The CBO is the official scorekeeper for Congress, so what it says pretty much goes. But the Finance Committee issued a memo contending that both numbers are accurate. The difference is due to whether policy changes that add to Medicare and Medicaid spending are counted as spending or subtracted from other cuts to those programs. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
A new development in the terrorism raid that took place in Queens, New York this week. Police searched the home of a Denver man at the center of the case. Law enforcement officials tell NPR that this search and the earlier searches are part of one of the most sensitive terrorism investigations in years. Testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier today, FBI Director Robert Mueller said there is no imminent danger stemming from the case that led authorities to search New York City apartments for explosives and possible links to Al-Qaeda. The FBI director's comments came following a question from New York Democrat Charles Schumer. Two Utah women have been sentenced to probation for their guilty pleas in a case involving the theft and sale of ancient American Indian artifacts. A two-year federal sting resulted in charges against 26 people in three states. From Salt Lake City, NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
Federal Judge Clark Wadup's bypass sentencing guidelines of at least 18 months in prison for 59-year-old Jeannie Redd. Neither she nor her daughter Jericho will serve any jail time for theft and trafficking involving ancient Native American artifacts taken from federal and Indian land. Mark Michael of the Archaeological Conservancy is disappointed.
I'm afraid it sends a message that this is not serious criminal activity.
U.S. Attorney Richard McKelvey disagrees.
I can't imagine anybody willfully subjecting themselves to any of the things that the Reds have gone through. You can't ignore the consequences that these people have suffered as a result of the investigation and prosecution of this case.
That's a reference to the suicide of family patriarch James Redd the day after he and two dozen others were charged. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.
Authorities in California now say they believe it was a 13-year-old boy who set a wildfire last month in the San Gabriel Mountains near Los Angeles that blackened some 2,100 acres. The fire was contained earlier this month. It damaged no homes. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 108 points. This is NPR. Today in Japan, a U.S.-educated opposition leader has made history by becoming that country's new prime minister. Dwelly Sakautau has more.
The victory of 62-year-old Yukio Hatoyama, head of the Democratic Party of Japan, means after almost 55 years, conservatives no longer govern Asia's largest economy. Hatoyama, who was educated at Stanford, said, "I have mixed feelings of excitement about changing history and the very heavy responsibility of making history." He promised to restart Japan's economy, which is in its worst recession since World War II, create more jobs to lower the unemployment rate, which is at a record high, and a reduced public debt. Next week, Hatoyama is expected to travel to New York to attend the General Assembly in the United Nations and possibly meet with President Obama. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau.
Mary Travers, one-third of the popular 60s folk trio Peter, Paul, and Mary, has died. According to the group's publicist, Travers died at Danbury Hospital in Connecticut today. Travers, along with Peter Yarrow and Noel Paul Stokey, had a number of hits, including If I Had a Hammer and Leaving on a Jet Plane. Mary Travers had been battling leukemia. She was 72 years old. Henry Gibson, a comic actor best known for his varied roles on the 60s TV show Ronan Martin's Laugh-In, has died following a battle with cancer. He was perhaps best known for appearances like this one, where he recited offbeat poetry while holding a flower.
"I'm very attached to my goldfish. I'd even stick up for him in a fight."
Gibson went on to appear in a number of feature films, including The Long Goodbye and Nashville. Henry Gibson was 73. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.